Blog Talk Radio.
Thank y'all very much for listening to us. It's been a pleasure to play for you. Thank you so much. On the guitar and some of the vocals, Mr. Gintrow on the guitar and the vocals. On the bass and some of the vocals, Mr. Keith Mosley. On the drums, the apartment QC58, Mr. Jeff Sykes.
Friday Night Special with Diane Lenning will be with you shortly. Friday Night Specials with Diane Lenning and our co-host John from Africa, who hopefully he is well and will be able to call us back tonight. We'll pray that he does, and we're so glad you are with us. Let's just listen the last few seconds. Remember, this is Diane Lenning broadcasting to you live from the United States of America, reaching out to Africa tonight and the Eastern Hemisphere. And we just are glad to have everyone from every country and every part of the world join us. Let's listen.
See you later.
Welcome to Friday Night Specials with Diane Lenning. Again, this is Diane Lenning, your host. We are so glad you're with us. We are broadcasting to you live from the United States of America, reaching out to the Eastern Hemisphere, and tonight especially to Africa and Asia. We just are so appreciative and glad you are with us, and I hope and pray that John will be able to join us tonight. I might have to have a shorter session than usual because I have to get up early tomorrow for my graduation from law school. So we are so glad you're with us. Let's open in prayer and just bow our heads together. And we're going to start with the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Additionally, I'm going to pray in my own words, and please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to share our time together and to read in the books of the Bible, the important books, especially tonight in Revelation, that tells of the future in which you are preparing us for what lies ahead, and give us the encouragement and the scriptures to hold on to trust the Lord for your protection. Lord, we do ask for the continued protection of all of our Christian family around the world, for we are of one body of Christ. And we pray for each person for the part of that body, symbolically speaking, that you have assign them to participate. We know each part is just as important for the other. For the scripture says, if your big toe hurts, the whole body hurts. And if your finger hurts, your whole body hurts. So we know that when one of our Christian friends is hurting, all the rest of us are hurting as well, and remember them in our prayers. We pray a healing touch for those who are sick and infirmed. Lord, that you would give them encouragement. And I know if we have but faith as the grain of a mustard seed, that is faith enough to move a mountain. And we know that all those seeds gathered together in a group of prayer brings great strength. And where two of us are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of us, with us. And we praise you and thank you for that. Please anoint the speakers tonight. And we pray, Lord, for good weather and good connections so that we can help this program to proceed and be recorded in the other languages of people around the world. Bless and anoint John, Lord. Help him in his studies to do well in school. Lord, we just pray that you would bless him as he says he hopes to someday become a pastor. We pray, Lord, that you would give him training, guidance, and direction, and that the Holy Spirit would be with him on his journey as he walks his Christian walk. And please, Holy Spirit, be with all of our Christian friends as they also walk this Christian walk, when they've taken that step of faith, stepping out from darkness into the light, walking the life with Jesus. We praise you and thank you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. I'm so glad you're with us tonight. We have a really interesting book to read tonight in Chapter 11 of Revelation. Now, I think the whole book of Revelation is extremely interesting, but I think this one tonight is even more so. It is kind of a high point as we approach about the halfway mark through reading Revelation. Now, I plan to go back through Revelation again when we're finished in a different method, perhaps paraphrasing or writing it like in story form. I haven't decided exactly what I'm going to do, but I have felt impressed to go back through it again and perhaps read some of the reference scriptures that this Bible has referenced with some of the scriptures. I know some verses are of extreme significance, and I try to point those out. And I think if they have a reference, that will be valuable for us to go back and reference some of those highlighted scriptures throughout. This book of Revelation is a book that you can read dozens of times and still not understand it. Why? Because it's a high level of academic writing. It has literary techniques that are really the 12th grade level and on up, you know, even higher. They use symbolism so that there is a surface meaning on the face of the words and there is an underlying meaning so that there is depth in the meaning. Like if you have a tree, you can see a tree above the ground and what it represents. But down underneath, what gives that tree life in the roots, there is a deeper underlying meaning, isn't it? That's how symbolism works. It doesn't come right out in these scriptures and say everything. It does in a way, but yet it might give it a name. Though we don't know what that name represents today unless the Holy Spirit reveals that to us. Now, there are many scholars who have studied and written about Revelation, and I have one of those books that helps you understand Revelation, which I will probably talk about more on the second round through the book of Revelation after we finish this and get into some of the discussion that people have used to interpret what they believe the Bible means. Now, the closer we come to the end time, the greater understanding God is going to allow us to have. And we are finding all along among many Christians today and this last year greater understanding of the scripture because we have seen some recent things happen that are relevant to what the scripture has predicted. So we're going to start in chapter 11, and this chapter is about the two witnesses who prophesy. Now the two witnesses we have not seen demonstrated yet that I have heard anybody identify, but I believe it could be any day, very soon, and that these witnesses are probably here on earth today. I believe we are that close. And then it's also about the second woe and the seventh trumpet that sounded, which means we have come through much of the time that was revealed in this book. So let's begin with verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, or the nations, and the holy city shall they tread under 42 months. Well, I believe, most people believe that's the temple in Jerusalem that they are speaking of currently in the last several years, considering how to rebuild it. So we know we are close to the end time. Verse 3, And I will give power unto my two witnesses. And what are they going to do? They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now that is 3.5 years. So this symbolizes or signifies to many that this is a part of the 7 years of tribulation. So we know that when we see the two witnesses and that is identified. We are, according to many who believe that that would be in the time of the tribulation. Verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God or Lord of the earth. Now remember, the candlesticks back in the beginning of Revelation were the seven churches. And this is just talking about two candlesticks. So I know that many churches would espouse that they are probably one of those two candlesticks. It may not even be an organized church. It just could be the church in two parts of the world, say the Western and the Eastern Hemisphere. It doesn't really say here, but there are those who've studied who might have an opinion, and we will discuss those kinds of points the second time around. Now, as to the two olive trees, I'll be frank, I'm going to have to research that one, and we'll have a reference verse to follow up on that. I am very interested in the two olive trees, and I know the olive trees are significant around Jerusalem and many parts of Israel. So it's probably in connection with something happening there in Israel. Verse 5, and if any man will desireth to hurt them, my two witnesses, fire proceedeth out of the witness's mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will desire to hurt them, he must in his manner be killed. Whoa, that is strong scripture. I believe when that happens, we will know about it. Verse 6, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. Now, these are two witnesses standing before God. And so it sounds like, wouldn't you think, this sounds like some judgment of God on earth. We'll be discussing that. Verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, most people would consider that to be hell or the abyss, shall make war against the two witnesses, and shall overcome the two witnesses and kill them. Now, if you think that means it's over, think again. Listen up to the next few verses. And the two witnesses' dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So that's interesting. They don't say Jerusalem or Golgotha Hill or any of that. So it sounds like a vicinity, kind of an area that they're talking about in Israel. And it says in Egypt. 9, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. So in other words, their dead bodies will likely be laying in the street where they were slain. Now, that's one possibility. Or they could put them up in a box somewhere, I don't know, for viewing. 10, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. So that means to me the non-Christians, the ones who don't serve God. Because remember in the prior chapter, if you are a child of God and you have the seal of God in your forehead, these kinds of things will not harm you. So these were meant, I believe, to show the power of God and to give people an opportunity to repent and to come to worship God. But there will still be many who have hardened hearts and will not come to know the Lord. And they will be merry and rejoice over the death of these two who were meeting judgment upon them because they tormented them. 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit breathes breath of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Can you imagine the unbelievable, what you would see? These people have been laying dead, probably in the streets or on a pyre or in a box, we don't know, and now all of a sudden, they stand up on their feet and they're alive. And the people remembered the power they had when they were alive. So they fear them. 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And the two witnesses ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Remember, that's how Jesus Christ ascended into heaven after he arose from the grave. Verse 13, and the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God of heaven. So remember the remnant of the 144,000, the 12,000 of each tribe of Israel. Verse 14, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Remember last time I said, woe, woe to those. And now this is the third time. Remember this second woe we were talking about was when the witnesses meted out judgment upon people of the earth, causing plagues and smiting the earth with their powers. Verse 15, and the angel sounded, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. I'm going to say that again. The kingdoms of this world, now that to me means all the countries of this world who have kings and presidents and leaders, will become the kingdoms under rulership of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Those are the words sung in the Hallelujah Chorus at Christmas. And he shall reign. Remember that song? That's beautiful. Verse 16. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God. Remember we talked about the 24 elders a few chapters back, how they bowed and worshipped before the Lord and tossed their crowns at his feet. Verse 17, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and the wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament or covenant. And there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. So it seems here that the Lord uses physical phenomenon of the weather and happenings around the earth and the world for people to see the power of God demonstrated. Well, praise the Lord. That's chapter 11. If John is not able to make it tonight, I will go ahead and read chapter 12. But let's take a break with a song and let's hear something about the Lord Jesus in worship. Now, I have some great songs. Let's listen to In Christ Alone. Now remember, in these songs, you can order them on the internet if you want and download them and listen. In Christ Alone is sung by Joanne Hogg. So let's listen and worship together, and I will be back with you, so please stay with me. In Christ Alone. Christ has stayed. Chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, do we remember what the stars were back in the first chapter? It said the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw at the right hand, they were angels. So, since this says 12 stars, let's see if that's what that is, or if it's something else. Verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in the heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, I'm not saying this is so, but usually I've heard over my lifetime that the dragon represented China, but it could also represent a consortium of countries or areas or regions led by China. We don't know. But that's what I mean by symbolism. It talks about who is going to do these things, but we don't know exactly who and where and what entity for sure it is. I think we can kind of get into regions. Okay, so this red dragon had 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. So crowns kind of indicates to me perhaps a consortium of 7 kingdoms or countries. That's possible. Certainly a possible, feasible interpretation. And verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Well, isn't that interesting? We are living right now in a time when Planet X, and they actually call it another word, I think it's N-I-B-I-R, Nibir, is now, they believe, positioned between Earth and our sun. And this planet only comes through our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, every 3,600 years. And it has a huge magnetic pull and a tail. They talk about it, a tail with like planetoids and little bits of planets in its tail. And they believe that this is what those stars were that burst over the horizon and landed on Russia last month. So that's interesting. It says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. I don't know if that's what that was, but it sure sounds like what happened. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, many believe the woman to be the church, and the woman is birthing many children of God, the family of God. This could possibly refer to the great harvest that is being reaped right now around the world, where millions of people are coming to know the Lord. So this great dragon is standing there ready to devour their children, but you will see God has his plan here. Verse 5, and she, the woman, brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So that means safety for the child that was born, because the child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So if we feel that we're a part of this child that's being born, you will be caught up unto God and his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her for 1,260 days. That's another 3.5 years. And some people have interpreted this section to possibly mean the time of the rapture. It could also be a time of when the Christians have gone away, fled to the mountains or a place of safety for the other half of the tribulation. The tribulation period is supposed to be 7 years long, and it is a great time of judgment upon the earth, and yet gives opportunity for those to repent if they believe they see the God, the true God, in the power of the judgment and want to receive the Lord. 7. And there was war in heaven. Now, isn't that interesting? I was praying last time. I felt like there was a war in heaven. I felt like there was something going up in the hemisphere above us. And it says the war will be between Michael and his angels. Fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So this could also be, the dragon could mean Satan. It could be Satan and his army, because Michael, as we know, is the archangel of the Lord. So it was God's army of angels fighting against the dragon's army of angels. And the dragon's army prevailed not. The dragon's army lost. And neither was their place found any more in heaven. But this next verse is interesting because it's almost like it's talking about the past, what has already happened. This is what makes this book so difficult to read and understand. So in verse 9 now it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. So apparently here the dragon was the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power, authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Have you felt spiritually attacked by evil forces in other people who aren't Christians, who've just attacked you day and night? Well, in America right now, Christians are going through personal attack, broad scale, like they've never experienced here before. Now, I know many Christians throughout the rest of the world have experienced it to a much greater degree than this. But America has been known to be a land of religious liberty. And so this is being viewed as a violation of religious liberties, and which was the most important number one reason why most of the Europeans left Europe, was religious persecution. They came to America to have freedom of religion in their worship and their beliefs. And now here, this evil has followed them where they've gone. And, verse 10, again, I'm going to read that again. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Take heart, be encouraged, I'm saying, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. So that tells me that there will be those who are martyred for Christ, for their love of the Lord, but yet they will overcome in totality, overcome the evil. 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And this is the area here that makes me think of the verse in which in the last day the devil will roar as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And this is probably that time when he realizes his time is short and he doesn't have much time to perpetrate his evil upon the world. Verse 13, and when the dragon, the devil here in this case, saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Isn't God good? He's going to give her the flight out of the evil treatment. Now, who's the woman? I don't know. Some say it might be the church. Perhaps further scriptures we read will enlighten that to us. But I really like the part where it says, and the woman, to the woman, were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. Now, that might not mean literally fly, or it might mean there were airplanes, or it might mean they were protected in fleeing from evil in some way to a place of safety where they were nourished for the time of God's appointed time. 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And lo and behold, the Lord God does another miracle. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. What a time to be living in. If we live to observe that, I mean, it will be apparent that God is God, the all-powerful and almighty God. 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant, or the leftover, of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Wow. That's the end of chapter 12. I don't know about you, but those two chapters were like a high point to me in this book. And it may still continue this high point as we go. We'll see next time. But this is a roadmap or a written document or story, whatever you want to call it, that tells us what has been happening and what's going to happen in the yet time to come toward the end of time. Now, that is the end of time as we know it. We believe that God will rule and reign, or that Christ will rule and reign with God, and so will his select will rule and reign with Christ forever in our eternal life. So this can be exciting when you're a Christian. It can be scary to some who are not Christians, or even if you are a Christian, wondering if you're going to be the one who might be martyred for the Lord, but you, if you are one of the martyrs, receives a greater reward in heaven for that. And in a way, it's a mark of courage that you will have shown by standing for God in a very difficult time, we just praise the Lord for the scripture tonight, reading in the Revelation. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to give you opportunity at this time, if you would like to come to know the Lord. We know in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." We need to receive God's best gift. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." Jesus said, "You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God." But God proves his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." John 10:10. "I am come that they might have life," that's you and I, "and that we might have life more abundantly." In Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried away our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." So when we pray tonight, you can also claim healing by the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. It used to be that before the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross and he became the Lamb sacrifice, that in the days of Old Testament, the Jews actually did a blood sacrifice once a year with the priest for cleansing of the sins for the year. Well, we don't do that anymore because Jesus serves as the eternal Lamb sacrifice for all, forever after. So if you would like to come to know the Lord and be a part of God's family, please bow your head with me now and pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I have been walking in my own way and separated from you. I believe that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for my sins, and I receive your forgiveness. I am willing to turn from my way and go your way. Lord Jesus, I now invite you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I will follow and obey you as the Lord of my life all the days of my life. And I thank you and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you had given us before you left the earth as our guide of understanding through the scripture and as our friend, counselor. And we just praise you. Thank you for that, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We accept the Holy Spirit into our lives as well as your gift. And we accept your gift of eternal salvation. We believe you are the Son of God, and we worship you, Lord. And Lord, I pray now a blessing upon each one of these who has received you as his or her personal Lord and Savior, a personal choice of a relationship with the Lord. It's not really a religion, it's a relationship with the Lord that each individual can have. And that Jesus, our Savior, can become our advocate to the Father God. And we can speak directly to God through Jesus as our advocate. And we praise you for that. And we pray, Lord, for blessings upon these new Christians that you will give them opportunity to hear Scripture in their home countries, that there will be groups who gather together and study the Scripture, and that you will protect those, Lord, who live in dangerous areas of where it is a risk to be a Christian. We pray that you would protect them, that you would blind the eyes of those who would do harm against them, that they would not see them as a target or an enemy to harm. And we pray, Lord, that those who are enemies of Christians, that you would soften their hearts and woo them unto you by your Spirit, that they indeed, as Saul of Tarsus was anointed and came to know the Lord through great transformation, we pray for great transformation of many people who have sought to harm Christians, that they would see a new way, a better way, and see the God and the holiness, the wonderful expression of God through these individuals. Lord, that these people would want to become a part of God's family and be miraculously transformed. We praise you and thank you for it. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As I say almost every time, the angels in heaven rejoice for each one who comes to know the Lord. Let's just rejoice and praise the Lord for a few minutes here as we listen to this music. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of your wonderful God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for the new family members who've joined. Bless them, Lord. Keep them. Anoint them all with your Spirit. Give them love, guidance, and protection. Help them to demonstrate God's love one to another. We worship you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Almighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God, our Father, who is with us in spirit. Until next week, this is Diane Lenning, your host. We're so glad you've been with us. Remember, God loves you, and I love you as well. We're so glad you're with us. Take care. God bless. Good night and good day. Bye-bye.